Good evening, friends. Happy to be here again tonight. Just one night prior to the closing of this little campaign, certainly enjoy it very much. And so happy to hear the good reports coming in of what the Lord Jesus is doing. You know, I hardly know from one time after the service is over just what takes place until some of them tells me about it and how our dear Heavenly Father has been answering prayer. And I say, you all got a good courage to come out on a night like this, cool, and of course I like it myself, but to see you come out to serve the Lord, I sure do appreciate you. I know God will bless you. Now tomorrow night, the Lord willing, is the ending of this little campaign, and we encourage all the pastors and all to come out. Everybody's welcome. Doors is open to all denominations, to Protestants, Catholics, Jews, to everybody, to every human being in the world. Everybody, regardless if you're a Buddha worshiper or a Mohammedan or whatever you might be, you're welcome anyhow. Come right out. You know, Jacob dug a well and the Philistines run him away from it, and he called it malice, and he dug another and he called it strife, and they run him away, and then he dug another well, said there's room for us all. So that's the kind of well we're drinking at tonight, where there's room for us all. How many remembers that old Southern Baptist song we used to sing, room, room, yes there is room, there's room at the fountain for me. Did anybody up here in the north? I see a few Southerners stuck around here. Now, room at the fountain for me. Used to sing it many years ago down south in the Baptist church when we have a big revival and get up there and sing room at the fountain and one's making an altar call. Great days. Some of them old people, I guess, have done gone on and on the other side waiting. Now, I don't mean to take much of your time. I'm just so full of things to say that the Lord has done in testimonies. If I'd be here for 5 years, I'd never be unloaded, I don't believe. And you see a wonderful people, a wonderful spirit, lovely group. And now, I've been used to preaching a lot of these Southerners. They're noisy as all get out. So just sing a song and you'll walk up and down the aisles crying and shouting and so forth. And you're very conservative people, but I wish to say this, that I believe that you sit still and take every word. Now, you've had a lot of troubles up through here, and you have to weigh out what you're thinking about, so that's a good thing. Always watch before you set your feet, and you won't be sorry of it. That's a very good thing. And Mama used to tell me an old proverb of hers. She said, think twice and speak once. So that's pretty good, too, to think it over. Now, anything that we teach or anything, we don't want to be contrary to anyone's doctrine or so forth. We don't mean to be indifferent, and I don't think I am indifferent. If I am, I pray that God forgive me. I come with a heart full of love and respect for every person that names the name of the Lord Jesus. And for those who do not name the name of the Lord Jesus, I still love and respect them. If I said that just from my lips or it just come from above my eyes, but it must come from my heart. And I really mean it from my heart that it's true. Now, each night, seeing you sitting here shivering, and my wife says, you know, my back almost breaks. How does that poor people sit there all that time, some of them not even back in a seat? Said, Billy, it just seems like you're torturing them. I don't mean to do it, honest, I don't. I don't mean to torture you. I'm just trying, and you're so lovely, just to sit and keep quiet and reverence and listen to every word. I hope someday the Lord will help me and you'll pray for me if you desire for me to come back and have a good 2 or 3 weeks meeting right in here. So we just get acquainted and come out and have morning, afternoon services and night services and pray for the sick and teach the gospel and have all the pastors in, all of them sitting on the platform. And the one that don't come and sit on the platform is going to have to buy me a steak. And I'm a good eater. So I like for fellowship, don't you? I like to see the Anglican, Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran, Pentecostal, the one hump camel, two hump camels, and three hump camels all going together. That's right. Going up the highway. And we'd just be very glad to have that. And let some of the pastors of the different churches. Well, we're not divided, all one army, or we one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. That's the way we stand. And not want to be isolationists. We found something good of the Lord and just want to share it with our brethren as we're passing by and our sisters as we're on our road to glory. I've been in the ministry now some 25 years. I've been saved 25 years, been preaching about 23 years. And if I've ever done any harm, I didn't mean to do it, I'm sure of that. And I've tried to live and conduct my services in the name of the Lord Jesus with a life and respect store. If I had come back into a place, I don't want one thing against it, because it's not as makes much difference about me, but it's who I'm representing. That's it, the Lord Jesus. Now, I'd rather lay down my life and say, well, let's forget it and let me pass out of the world than to come and be a deceiver or to cause trouble among the people of God. I want them to be one with all my heart. Amen. When I come into among the full gospel ranks, I was a Baptist minister, and I began praying for the sick, and the Baptists believe in divine healing, many of them, some better than what the Pentecostal does. But in the majority of them, they're more the, well, we don't know just whether so. So then, that's all right. They got a right to test them. That's their own privilege. That's everybody's privilege. Don't make me think one less nothing. But when I come over here, I found out they were as badly split up as the Baptists was. You know, we got 30-some-odd different denomination of Baptists. So the Pentecost is just about as bad. So I took this, brethren, to never have great big programs where you have to have a lot of money. And by the grace of God, we've kept it clean without money.
Amen.
And tonight, if I'd have took what had been offered to me, not what I never asked for a penny in my life, by the grace of God. Now, I never took an offering in my life, never. And I have had offered to me, if I just took what had been, I've been many times past a millionaire. That's right. And tonight, I'd hate to write you a check on my bank for anything over about $300. So I was sure I could get it in there right away. But here's one thing. I want to be honest. I want to live in the condition that the people, just like the people that come to me, so I can feel their suffering and fellowship with them, and I'm right on the level with them. That's the way I feel. I don't say that just from my mouth. I say that from my heart, and God knows it to be the truth. And I'd rather be that way. My people's poor, and we're all poor, and our riches is in glory. Amen. That's where we're going to together. And I asked my wife here some weeks ago, I said, sweetheart, what is value? Where could you place value? Well, she said, what do you mean, Billy? And I said, well, value. I said, I remember years ago when I got my first little T model Ford. I was a sinner, about 19 and 26. And I would just shine that little thing all day Sunday to make it shine. Stay home, didn't go to church, and shine it. Now, what if today I tried to find one piece of that car? It's gone. You couldn't do it. It's finished. What if someone would come in tonight and say, Mr. Branham, I appreciate you. I'm going to give you $1 million. I'd say, you know, thank you, sir. I'm going to take that. And I'm going out and going to feed all the poor people. That would be very fine. Just go around from house to house and send in groceries and bring the widows coal and wood and clothe the little children and go to the hospitals and take care of their bills that can't be paid and so forth and do good things. But when I got to heaven, it'd all be gone. But what if I get one soul saved? What if I had laying here tonight $100 billion laying here? What could I do with $100 billion? The missionaries I could send to the world and with myself and probably win millions of souls. I don't know. But if I had $100 billion laying on this side and a little button on this side, and I could press that little button and I'd lose $100 million, or don't press the button, I could keep it, but if I press the button, my dear old dad has passed on beyond the veil, would walk down this aisle and I could sit here and talk to him 10 minutes. I'd give $100 billion freely without a question to talk to my daddy one more time. Where's value at, man? What is it? I think if I can get one soul saved, one little black boy or whatever it might be, as long as there is an eternity and that light and that star of God is shining in glory, my name will be associated with getting that soul saved. So friends, what do you Canadian people need? You got a lovely country. You got the prettiest in the world. Because some of you may be no millennium, millennialist, but I kind of believe in a millennium. You know why I want the Lord to let me live in the millennium? I want to live at Banff and Jasper over there in that part. So y'all come over to see me. I'm going to be a Canadian during that time. But it's wonderful. You're not overrode with people. You're just a lovely people. Now, I don't say that just because I'm before you. I'd say it anywhere. And people here from America knows that I've said that. Loyal, real friends I have in Canada. I appreciate them, everyone. Now, just to kind of explain to you in a little temporary way, the action, how many would give me just about, say, 8 minutes? It's right now about 8 minutes till nine. Would you give me that 8 minutes just to explain a little bit the best that I know about the operation of the Holy Spirit in the meetings? Would you give that? Thank you. You've many times wondered, and maybe tomorrow night, Brother Sossman asked me if I would kind of speak of the late vision concerning the tent and how to pray for the people, to be isolated from the people when I pray just one at a time. And you've noticed here at the platform the weakening, and sometimes when I go, I take my boy. He stands around somewhere, watches every move that I make. And he watches me to see that when I get weak enough, that he knows I've got enough, he'll come get me regardless. I've trusted that to preachers. Was off the field for a year one time. They just don't understand. You've got to be associated with it and watch it and know every little move, just how it moves. And my family, who I've been raised with, and my wife sitting back there, knows many times at home, sometimes sitting in a coma, and like in a coma, in a vision, and the Lord will speak things and it'll say just exactly, and not one time does it ever fail. It's a gift that comes from God. Now, it's a gift, just like a gift to sing, a gift to do anything. It's gifts. And I just have a way to yield myself to the Holy Spirit, and it's not me, it's you that operates that gift. Now, I have never thought and never believed in my heart that this was God's perfect way for me to do it. I did it because the people all rallied for it, you see. But now, let me just give you a little, in a simple, childlike way. I can't explain it, and I can no more do it than nothing. I have no way of doing it. It's the sovereign grace of God to you. It's not me, it's you. You're the one that does the operating of it yourself. I just yield myself. Now, notice, we are given gifts by measure. Christ was given the gifts without measure. Is that right, Bible students? He had it without measure. But yet, so the gift that was in Christ was like the whole ocean. And the little gift here would be like a spoonful of water out of the ocean. Never be missed. But yet the same chemicals is in that little spoonful there is in the whole ocean. It's just the same kind, but not as much. Well, that's the way we are when we're yielded to the Spirit. It's the same Spirit working through every gift in the church. Now, I'm going to give you a little illustration. So that I was thinking of it this afternoon, so it being childlike form, because I know I have German and Chinese and Indian and Norwegian and Swedish and all sitting here, and some of them do not understand English too well. And I want to give it this little child form. Now, listen. We're all little boys again, brethren. And we go to the city, and there's a carnival in town. You know what a carnival is? A show, you know, or circus in town. Well, it happens to be that you being one type of man, you're a short, stout man. And maybe God made you that way. That's the reason you're short and stout. Well, maybe he made me tall and thin. Maybe you could pack a load that I could never pack. But I can see just a little higher than what you can. See? Now, you're that way because God made us that way. See? The Bible said, who taking thought can add one cubit to his stature?
Right.
So that's the reason that gifts and callings are without repentance. It's what God by foreknowledge has given to the church. God has set in the church some apostles, some prophets, some teachers, evangelists, and pastors. Now, we're at this carnival. There's a great big high wall around. We haven't got any money. We can't get in. So it happens to be we're walking around the side and wondering what all, how many animals is on the inside. We can hear in there the The lions are roaring, the tigers and giraffe and so forth, we're listening to them. And after a while, I find way up here there's a knot hole. Well, maybe you never reach that knot hole, but I'm tall enough, God made me tall enough, that I can reach up real high, get just the end of my fingers over the boards of the fence, and I can pull all my fingers until I can just look through the knot hole, let back down. Well, the parade's passing by. And you say, what did you see, Brother Branham? A giraffe. Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. All right. What else is in there, Brother Branham? Oh, my. See? All right. Here I go again. I jump up and grab the end of my fingers, and I pull again real hard. I look through the knot hole. What do you see, Brother Branham? An elephant. See? Oh, I'm so tired. Now, that's what the meeting is here. When I'm standing before you, it's you operating that gift, and that's what makes me weak. See? It's just one thing at a time. When you're standing there and your faith are moving, it's God speaking as you are pulling from the gift of God. The desire of your heart is coming through by the gift of God. Now, perhaps the circus man comes by and says, hey, fellow, what are you doing? I want to show you something. Yes, sir? And he picks me up by the back of the coat, lifts me up. He said, you see this elephant coming here? He's going down here. He's going to go over here. He's going to do this. He's going to do this. He's going to do this and over there. Yes, sir, I understand. That's just the way it's going to be. Sets me down. That don't make me tired. He's holding me up. Now, in that manner, it's God using his gift. Now, look. What was a greater miracle, and Lazarus being raised from the dead, or the woman who touched his garment? Now, the woman, she said within herself, if I can only touch his garment, I'll be made well. So she climbs through the crowd, Jesus knowing nothing about it, and she touched his garment and went back. Now, what was she doing? She was pulling through him. You see what I mean? Pulling through him the gift of God through the man. See, she pulled from him because God was in him, and she was pulling from him what she desired. Her faith was a doing it. And when Jesus said, I got weak, somebody touched me. They said, everybody's touched. He said, yes, but I got weak. And he looked around to see where it was at. And he seen the woman. And he said, told her about it. She denied it. First, when he asked it, who done it? She denied it. They all denied it. But he said, he told her that she was the one done it, and her faith had made her whole. Now, see, that made him weak. But when the father had showed him that Lazarus was going to die and sent him away from home, and they sent for him to come pray for Lazarus, he just went on somewhere else. What if your pastor would do that? See? Then he went on, asked again, and he still went on. Then when the amount of days was that the father had showed him, which he said he did nothing till the father showed him, he said, our friend Lazarus is asleep. They said, he doeth well. See, that he had to tell them in their own language. And he said, he's dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there, but I go wake him. The father had showed him. Watch him stand at the grave. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me already, but I say this for the sake of those who stands around. There's no virtue nor nothing. God was using his gift there. And the woman was using his gift here. Do you get it now?
Yeah.
Now, my wife can tell you many times, or any other, the rest of the brethren who were associated, when God just speaks, and I'll be walking along thinking nothing about her, sitting in the room, and all of a sudden he'll take me down and show. Now you go down, like here some time ago, you might have noticed in the paper, at Denver, Colorado, they never did know what happened. The Lord had sent me over there. He showed me a place. He said, now there's a place where there'll be a car parked this way in a vision. He said, it's a gray car. You'll be going down the street this way, and it's a white house. And when you look at behind there, there's a gate that opens, and there's a hole laying right down behind the gate. And said, there'll be a man come out and get in the car, pack in a briefcase, go at the door. And said, when you do, there'll be a woman weeping. And when you go in, lay your hat down on the bed, and then she'll pick it up and lay it over here on a television. And there'll be another lady come in with a red sweater on and sit down here, then go lay your hands on this sick baby and say, thus saith the Lord. I knew what it was, and he showed me a man coming down. I looked, and I seen a clock, and I heard something going squeak, 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 and I looked, there's a man coming down in a wheelchair. That's when the papers wrote up, in a wheelchair, holding a Bible, crying. He said, walk out to him and speak with him and tell him to raise up. and said, "You'll notice at the clock, it'll be just 10 minutes before 3. And I got up, said about it, out of the vision. About 2 or 3 days after that, the telegrams coming everywhere, come here to pray for this and come pray for that and come pray for this one everywhere, you know. And after a while, I picked up one, and it said, "Come to Denver, a man with TB dying. Come at once." Something just said to me, "Go." Now, I didn't know where the vision is going to be. I went, got off the plane, got a cab, and went to this address, prayed for the man, never did hear what happened. So it was a little time before the plane was going to leave, so I thought, instead of calling the cab, I'll just walk downtown. And I wasn't even thinking about that vision or nothing. I just thought it was going to happen. Started walking down the street, walking along like that. And all at once, I heard somebody say, "Well, goodbye, doctor," and looked around, and here come a man packing a briefcase, walking down a step. And I thought, "I've seen that man somewhere. Isn't that strange?" And I looked, and here sat that little gray Ford sitting on this side of the street. I said, "That's a vision." And he come out. I walked on up. I said, "How do you do?" He said, "How do you do, sir?" Got in the car, drove away. I went over to this gate and looked down. There laid the hole. I said, "This is it." Went right on up the steps, knocked at the door. A lady comes steps. She's weeping. I said, "You have a sick baby, do you, lady?" She said, "Yes, sir." She said, "Are you a doctor?" I said, "No, ma'am." I said, "I'm a minister." She said, "Oh, yes, sir." And I said, "My name is Branham. I'm Reverend Branham." She said, "I don't believe I know you, Mr. Branham." I said, "No, I'm a stranger. Could I see your baby a minute?" She said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Thank you." I stepped in. I said, asked her what's the matter. She had congested lungs, pneumonia. And a little bitty fellow laying there, and I thought, looked in the room just right, laid my hat down on the bed. But the lady went over and sat down. She never moved the hat. So I thought, this is, now I can't say a word now. I just have to wait. Or say about the vision, nothing. I just kept talking to her. Never asked prayer or nothing. I said, "And your baby, how old is it, and how long you lived here, and so forth like that," and we got to talking. Well, then, she got up and got my hat after a while. I walked over to the side of the bed. She got my hat and laid it over on the television, but the lady wasn't there with a red sweater on. Can't pray. See? He isn't there yet. So then, I kept talking, sat down again, and then after a while, the lady come in, and sat down. Another lady come in, which had been out in another room or somewhere. She come in and sat down with a red sweater on. The lady with the brown coat on got up and went out. Can't say nothing yet. Just wait there. And when they all got sitting together just right, then I said, "Stand up just a minute." I went over to the baby, and I said, "You don't know me, and you walk strangely. But thus saith the Lord." The baby's healed. The little baby turned over and calling for its mother. That's it. I got out of their place and went down, started walking down. I thought, "I'll get me a cab right quick," and I run into somebody there. And I thought, "Well, wonder where I could catch a cab here on this corner." I was trying to catch a cab, get out to the airport, because my plane is about ready to leave. And I was trying to hail a cab like that. And I stepped back in the side of a 10-cent store there, like, and I thought, surely a cab come by in a minute. And I looked right across from me, and there was a clock. I thought, "It looks like I've seen that clock." Why, sure. In just a few minutes, here come the squeak into the wheelchair, and here was a man with his Bible in his hand. Just exactly 3:10. That's perfect. Walked out there, and I said, "Do you believe that book you're reading?" He said, "Yes, sir, I do." I said, "In there holds the words of eternal life." He said, "Yes, sir, I believe that." I said, "Did you ever read in there where Jesus heals the sick?" He said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Do you believe that?" He said, "Yes, sir, I do." I said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, stand up, for thus saith the Lord, you're healed." And he said, "You mean I can get up now?" And I said, "Get up." And the nurse that was pushing him, she said, "Well, he can't get up." I said, "Raise up, sir, take my word." He said, "Who are you?" I said, "That doesn't matter, raise up." And he said, "Look at here, nurse." And he started running like that. And I slipped back to the 10-cent store, went down the alley, went on the other side and caught a cab and went out. Piece of paper like that, mystic healing of a man on the street. Never did know what happened. See? It was the Lord. Now that wasn't no weakness in that vision. That was God using his gift. But here, it's you using God's gift. See? You are doing it yourself. It's your faith that does it. Me just yielding. Now, do you understand? Wow. If you do, say amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, it'll be so good when we cross over the other side and we meet these tens of thousands of friends that we have associated with in this life. And to hear as we sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus, and we'll tell the story how we overcome. Some glorious day. Oh, I want to be there when they crown him the King of Kings. To hear the saints sing redemption songs. When around the circle of the earth will stand angels with bowed heads, not knowing what we're talking about. They don't know what redemption means. They never need to be redeemed. But God, we poor sinners, was redeemed. We're the ones to crown him. Oh, I want to be there, Lord. And to crown him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We long for that day. I pray, God, if there's one in here tonight that hasn't made preparation to be present at that day on the roll of honor, I pray that they'll make their decision tonight to serve the Lord Jesus the rest of their life. Heal the sick and afflicted. Oh, God, bring hearts together and make us all one. For we ask that in the name of thy loving child, the Lord Jesus, who has redeemed us. Amen. Now, for the prayer line, I'll just speak a few moments. Oh, how my heart is burning to tell you great testimonies of India, what the Lord done, Africa, what he done, the other places, Mexico the other day, that little dead baby laying there, and that, how he was raised and many things. I'd just like to speak to you. But I think it would be, instead of telling a testimony, the word is better for just the now in the condition. And over in the book of Genesis again tonight, I would like to continue just a few comments on Abraham. And we left off at the 17th chapter last night, and we want to read some of the 18th chapter, or just a verse, or part of a verse here, and the 18th chapter, the 14th verse, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And may the Lord add his blessings to his word. And now, how many enjoy reading of Abraham, speaking of him, on the covenant that God made and tore the Son of God in two, lifted up his body to his right hand of the majesty on high, and sent back the Holy Spirit to confirm the faith of the saints until he comes again. Did you get it last night? You understand it? Now look, these two pieces had to be exactly the same. If it isn't, it's a different piece. They had to be exactly the same. So the church would have to have exactly the same spirit that was in Christ Jesus, or it won't fit in the body. You get it? Now that's for Methodist, Baptist, Anglican, Catholic, whatever you might be, it has to fit just exactly with the spirit that was in Christ Jesus. Because that's what God tore off and gave to you for the part of the covenant while he raised his son from the dead and set him at his right hand on high. And tonight, Christ is not sitting on his own throne. He's sitting on whose throne? His Father's throne. He that overcometh shall sit with me on my throne, as I have overcome, and sitting on my Father's throne. Isn't that marvelous? And we have that great and grand privilege of knowing someday we'll be able to sit with him on his throne, and he takes the throne of David, which is heir to, and we'll reign with him 1,000 years on earth, and then through eternity forever. Now, God speaking, just a little background for just another comment or two, then straight to this service, the healing line, as quick as we can, because this time just gets away. And tomorrow night we want to spend a little more time, so we'll let you early tonight. Now, we find that Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And when he was 75 years old, God called him and gave the covenant to him and told him that he was going to save him, and he'd come to him in an old age, ripe old age, and told him that he and his wife, which was 65, were going to have a child. And Abraham called those things which were not as though they were, because he knew that God was able to perform that which he had spoken. And the covenant was not only made with Abraham only, but with Abraham's seed. And the Bible said that we are Abraham's seed and are heirs according to the promise. a minister here in Canada years ago. I don't know where he's at now. His name is Cossack. He used to say to me, he said, "Brother Branham, are you any relation to Abraham?" I said, "He's my father." "Sure, for we being dead in Christ take Abraham's seed. And the heir is the spirit filled, born again, children of God. We are Abraham's seed, joint heirs with Christ in the kingdom." And then we brought it over to a lady spoke to me today in the coming through the room, said, "I had never thought of that horror of darkness and that little light or so forth going on in the parable last night where God was taking Abraham and showing him how that he was going to confirm or keep this covenant through the sacrifice of his own beloved son. And showed that at Calvary how God did take and how the old covenant was that if they taken an animal, killed it, cut its body in two, and stood between the pieces and wrote out the covenant and tore it apart and gave one half to one and one the other, and when they come together, the two pieces of writing had to dovetail one with another, or they took an oath, let their body be as this dead animal's body. Let them be as the dead animal. Now, and God took an oath by himself, for a man always swears to someone greater. There was no one greater God could swear by, so he swore by himself to this oath, took this oath. And at Calvary, several hundred years later, he took his son and tore his body apart, his swollen body, and lifted up his body and set it on his right hand and sent the Holy Spirit to the church to continue the works of the Lord Jesus till he comes. And he writes the covenant in the Old Testament back in the holiest of holies. The commandments was wrote on tables of stone. But he said, after these days that I will pour out my spirit and I'll write my covenant up on the tables of their heart and in their mind. Amen. You see it? Then God, by the Holy Spirit, confessed faith in Christ, brings the Holy Spirit that writes the covenant of peace across your heart. Then the Spirit that was in Christ dwells in you, and it makes you act the Christ-like life. And in there, God has placed in this group of people, which is called his body, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. Then locally in the church, he's put nine spiritual gifts. Gifts of wisdom, knowledge, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, gifts of healing, all these things, all to edify or to keep together and to melt together the one big body of the Lord. That isn't beautiful. God certainly knows what he's doing, doesn't he? And then to think that after 2,000 years has passed by, the Lord Jesus is just as much alive tonight as he was back there, still with the church. The second piece of the covenant is sure with us, the Holy Ghost, riding out and doing the very same things that he did when he was here on earth. And he said, "A little while and the world will see me no more, yet ye shall see me, for I will be with you to the end of the world." Isn't it marvelous? What a wonderful, oh, it thrills the heart of a man to know there's no more guesswork. It's all over. It's finished. Here every night I got a sermon on my heart of resting. Oh, my, don't toil anymore. Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. It was burning. I had to preach it to somebody, so I just woke my wife up and preached to her for about 2 hours, and she went to sleep on me. Preaching, resting on the finished works. Amen. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. All around my soul gives way, then he's all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other grounds is sinking sand. Beautiful. Resting. Why, Noah, when he got in and was protected from the judgment,
The waters of the antediluvian destruction was a judgment sent to the world, and the ark with a pitch in it was the covenant. When Noah walked into this covenant, he just got him a seat and sat down and let it rock away. He was resting in the finished works of God's provision for his salvation. Amen. There it is. And we come into Christ, just sit down, it's finished. Amen. Resting solely in the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one thing could we do or to save ourselves. He did it by his grace. No need of tossing about and worrying about and pulling about and leaving the Methodist to join the Baptist and leaving this one to join that one. Just rest in Christ.
Hallelujah.
It's all finished. God's grace to us. My, that's really makes my heart jump a little faster. Then we followed him along from the covenant to the 17th chapter of Genesis, and we find there that after he was 100 years old, God came to him and said, Abraham, I am Almighty God, the El Shaddai, the bosom, the breasted God. What a promise to a man 100 years old who had been waiting on the promise of God for 25 years, confessing. When it got darker and darker, he grew stronger and stronger. When God lingered and seemed to get farther away, Abraham's faith built higher and higher.
Yeah.
Be a greater miracle all the time. He rested on the word of the living God. God said so, no matter how unreasonable it seemed, it was so because God said so. And here he is, and what a name to appear to a man that's hopeless and helpless in the natural realm. A man 100 years old, and his wife 90 years old, and had lived with her since she was a child, a girl. It was his half-sister that he married. Probably married her when she was just a girl. And all through their fertile years, no children. Way in, now 40 years past the time as it is with women. And still with greater faith than he ever had that the baby is going to be born. God respected that in such a way, he just come down and said, I'm El Shaddai, Abraham. You've trusted me, and now I am the breasted God. Abraham, just lean over on my bosom, my little sick child, wore out. Well, this is just a small thing for me. You just lean over here and just nurse on my promise a little while and watch what happens. Let's see, just follow him all a little bit and see what happened on nursing on this promise. Abraham, why, you're old. You're 100. The Bible said, well, stricken in age, the gray whiskers hanging down across his face, and little old Sarah with a little bonnet on top of her head, shaking around on a little stick, still saying that we're going to have a baby.
Yeah.
He said, Abraham, you trusted me now. I'm the breasted one. I'm the one who can give you back. You're just a baby to me. So I'll just take you up my arms, since you've trusted me, and I'll just nurse you back to strength again. I'll make you a new man. How wonderful. He's still El Shaddai. Not only was a promise to Abraham, but to his seed. Watch what God's going to do. A little later we find Lot down there backslidden, his nephew in a terrible condition, about this other 18th chapter, and we find that one day after Lot had took the best part of the country and Abraham took the poorest. You know, you sometimes have to, don't try to get back at people. I was preaching the other night on the lamb and the dove. And when the dove came down and settled on the lamb, what if the lamb would have snorted like a wolf? What would have happened? The dove would have took her flight. And that's what's the matter with you people up here in Canada. Not only that, but around everywhere. You were lambs, but you got the arguing and fussing and drawing denominational barriers, and the dove just took her flight and went away. That's right. You don't have the love like you ought to have. They don't have it in America. I don't know where it's at. But long ago, you remember when your heart used to be so tender and pure before God? Oh, you didn't mind the troubles. Mine's all right. Just let it go on. But when the first thing you know, when you got that temper upset, I'll get back at him. The dove took her flight. The Holy Spirit cannot stand nothing but gentleness. God's gentle and peace and loving. No matter how much you know and how much theology you know and how you can stick your chest out and how well you can preach, that doesn't mean nothing. If that gentle, quiet, loving Spirit of God doesn't rest on you, it's all gone. You're nothing. No matter how many gifts you can show, no matter though Paul said, though I can speak in tongues like men and angels, I can have enough faith to move mountains and have that gentle, meek love, I am nothing. That's where your trouble lay. See, that's it. Now, Abraham, meek, gentle. So, all right, Lot, brother, if you want to take the best part, go ahead and take it. That's all right. I'll take the way with the Lord's despise you. You remember when we used to sing that? We started in with Jesus, and now I'm going through. You ever sing that here in Canada? Sure. What went wrong? Let's go on through. Just keep humble. Just keep walking. Keep in love with everybody. No matter what they say about you, go ahead, be a lamb. You know, a lamb is an odd animal. A lamb it's got its own wool. That's its God-given rights. But it's willing to lay upon a block and not kick if you never sheared any sheep. I have. And it'll let everything be shaved off of it, give its rights and forfeit it because it's meek, it's gentle. Are you ready to lay down and give all your rights as a Canadian? You say, when I look, Mr. Branham, I've got a right to get back. He done something to me, I've just got a right to go crawling up. But are you ready to be shaved off and forfeit them rights? I tell you, I don't do that old denomination church. Mine, that may be so. But are you ready to be shaved off? God wants lambs as willing to be shaved off and become creatures of God. Notice, Abraham up there with Sarah, his wife, no doubt but many times the meal barrel got way down to the bottom, but they still served the Lord. They were in the perfect will of God, though they had to suffer just a little bit to make ends meet. Nearly everyone that really, truly serves God meets them kind of times. Sure we do. And when sometimes you wonder how you go get the kiddies some shoes for school, how you go to make this bill and that bill, don't worry. The only one thing to do is rest on His promise. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. So it doesn't matter. Oh, how we could stop here and throw testimonies of the great power of God. One day while Abraham's sitting in that condition, he raised up his eyes and looked one hot day, and he seen three men coming walking, had dust all over their clothes, and Abraham was spiritual. He recognized immediately who that was, and he run out and fell down by the side of the man's feet and said, "My Lord, stop by a little while and sit under the tree. And let me bring a morsel of meal and refresh yourself, and then you may go on, for this purpose have you come to your servant." What? They looked like men. But you know who it was? It was two angels and Almighty God. That's what the Bible says.
That's right.
Someone pulled my hand on that one time and said, "Brother preacher, do you mean to tell me you believe that was God?" I said, "Almighty God sat down there as a human being, and Abraham went and killed a calf, and God eat the meat of the calf, drunk the milk from the cow, and eat butter and cornbread. The Bible said God Almighty did that, and angels with Him." You try to limit God. You try to limit God to your theology. You try to limit God to your way of thinking. Why, you'll never do it. Well, my God is so great. How did He do it? Why, it was easy. When you see this picture here, you'll never doubt the resurrection. Why, God could just reach out. What are you made out of, anyhow? I was speaking to a doctor the other day, and he was telling me some kind of an idea he had. I said, Doctor, I want to ask you. He said, I believe if a man keeps a golden rule, he'll go to heaven. I said, I don't. He said, well, who's going to be the judge? I said, God. Well, God didn't say I wouldn't. I said, he sure did. He said, except the man be born again, he will in no wise enter the kingdom. I said, I'm just quoting his word. I said, if the golden rule would have worked, Christ would not have had to die. The covenant would not have been torn apart in this gift to you. But I said, that is God's program, and we must tally up to his program and not our thinking. It's his word. But we got to go by. What's got to happen? Look, everything that you eat, you live, your natural life lives by dead substance. I asked the doctor this. I said, Doctor, why is it that every time I eat food, do I renew my life? He said, that's right. New blood cells. You renew your life. I said, Doctor, when I was 16 years old and 18, I'd sit down and eat beans, cornbread, cabbage, potatoes and things. And every time I eat, I got bigger and stronger all the time. And now I'm eating better food and more of it. And I'm getting older and weaker all the time. Explain that to me. Show me scientific. If I've got a pitcher full of water pouring into a glass and it's filling up all the time, it gets to a certain place, and the more I pour, the farther it goes down. Explain that to me. There's only one question, friend. God has said. That's all. God has said. More boards you put on a building, bigger it gets. Sure. Well, why did you put more boards on? It's getting littler all the time. God has said. And look, every time that you eat to keep this mortal life of going, something had to die so that you can live. Right. Did you know that? If you eat beef, the cow dies. If you eat pork, the hog dies. If you eat cabbage, the cabbage dies. If you eat potatoes, the potato dies. If you eat bread, the corn died, or the flour, the wheat died. Something had to die, and you live because something died so you could live. So if there would happen to be somebody here that can't see it, can't you understand that something had to die in the spiritual so we could live again? Be born again. Live anew. Live it through Christ, and that's the only avenue there is through Christ. And when you see the visible and the Word and everything confirming itself and making it a beautiful picture that Christ is here and fulfilling His promise, what ought we to do? Stew about it? We should rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Amen. For Christ is in our midst of His church. Not only in Prince Albert, world around. Amen. And will always be manifesting Himself the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, let's listen just a moment. What did God do? What's your body made out of anyhow? What are you? You know what you are? Just a little bit of calcium, a little potash, some petroleum and cosmic light. That's all you are. And a few atoms. I was combing what few hairs I got the other day. My wife said to me, she said, Billy, you're getting bald-headed, honey. I said, but praise the Lord, I haven't lost a one of them. She said, then tell me where they are. I said, you tell me where they was before I got them, I'll tell you where they are waiting for me. Amen. There was one time they wasn't, then they was, and now they're not. They're back where they was at the beginning, and I'm going to them someday. Glory! Right! This old body is going to melt away the same way and rot away till there won't be a spoonful of ashes. But some glorious day, it'll be back again, new and fresh. Amen. That's to make you excited. When you think of it, oh, it's such a glorious thing. God, our Heavenly Father, who owns all the atoms and everything there is, who put them together, well, what did He do? He said, come here, Gabriel. Come here, Michael. Let's go down and visit Abraham. I can see him just go, breathe a few atoms together, a little cosmic light and some petroleum, and stepped into it. And he stepped each one of the angels into a body and walked right down. and eat some human flesh, was eat in human flesh, and was hungry while he was here, because he had the operation of all this stuff put together that calls for food, and walked right out before Abraham and vanished and turned back to God, the immortal again. Amen.
Yeah.
That's my Heavenly Father. What do I care about what death can do? I know what he can do in the resurrection.
Right.
He who could score. That's all there is to it. I'm glad that he knows me. I'm glad he knows you. And so it makes us exceedingly glad to know that that's our Heavenly Father.
Right.
Yes, sir. So what's the worry about? Death, where is your sting? No other Paul could say, well, I know him in the power of his resurrection. Now, I don't know him by book. I don't know him by letter. I know him in the power of his resurrection. Do you know him that way? If you've been born again, you do know him that way. In the power of his resurrection. He said, when he calls from among the dead, I'll come out. That's the main thing. Know him in the power of his resurrection. The insurance agent came to my house some time ago. He said, Billy, I'd like to sell you an insurance policy. Oh, I said, I've already got one. My wife looked at me strange. She knew I didn't have any of that kind of insurance. He said, you've got one. I said, what company you got it with? I said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born by His Spirit, washed in His blood. He stood and looked at me a little bit. Said, that's nice, Billy, I like to hear you say that. But said, that won't touch you in the graveyard out here. But I said, it'll get me out. I'm not worried about getting there. I'm thinking about getting out. That's the main thing. The assurance policy that Christ lives, I live also.
Amen.
And know Him in the power of His resurrection. Amen.
Amen.
So really, He's good. He's wonderful. Now, after Abraham and the destruction there, God spoke to Abraham, and while he was sitting there eating this cow's calf, drinking the milk, Sarah was back in the tent. She wasn't like some of these women today in America. Of course, you don't have them like that in Canada. Just has to be seen in everything, but she was back in the tent. So while she was back there, God looked around Abraham and said, now, according to the time of life, I'm going to visit you. Said, where's Sarah? Said, she's in the tent. Said, now, according to the time of life, had his back turned now to the tent. The Bible said he had his back turned to the tent. And Sarah on the inside went, me, an old woman of 90 years old, will have a baby. God looked right straight at Abraham and said, what does Sarah laugh for? Was that mental telepathy? That's what they say it is today. Mental telepathy. Sarah got scared. She ran and said, I didn't ask it. Oh, yes, you did. She was scared. Abraham's grace, of course, through God held her at that time. Now, I want to ask you something. I want most of you here, adults, I want to ask you something, Dad, Mother, just in a closing moment right now. I'll have to close and finish tomorrow night if I can. Oh, I just love this. It's just them old nuggets, just to pull them out and polish them up, and they every one point straight to Calvary. Every one of them, the finished work. Now, the Bible said that Sarah and Abraham were well stricken in age, old man and old woman. But Abraham had been laying on the bosom of El Shaddai, up there in the poor land, but he was nursing from God's Word, the breast of God. He was wounded for our transgressions. With His stripes, we were healed. Is that right? The Bible said that we were. That with His stripes, we were healed. Now, somebody just watched so many. There's probably a spasm or a spell or something she's had. All right. Just look this way. Just keep on talking. See, we'll see what. Now, I want to ask you something. There, in the midst, God had spoke to Sarah and Abraham and had told them that what he was going to do with them, and Abraham was leaning on the bosom of the Lord. Is that right? How many believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
Leaning on the bosom of the Lord. All right. Then what did God do? God made his promise of what he would keep his word, and God's obligated to keep his word. Is that right? How many believe that? God will keep his word. Now, I want you to notice something what's taking place. Now, this might be a great deal of encouragement. Now, all of you, sit down, folks. You mustn't do that, see? Sit down. The lady is just in a spell, a spasm, or epileptic or something. If we just be real quiet, it's hard to tell what the Holy Spirit might heal the woman right now. You've heard of these meetings, so just don't be alarmed. Listen to the word. Put that first. There's some man there, hold her and everything. Poor thing. She's in a condition. I'm trying to go ahead preaching and seeing what he'd tell me to do, see? So I have to have your prayer and faith and attention right now to see what to say for the poor martyr that's in that condition. We're preaching faith, and we've got to know what we've got to say before we can say it. You see what I mean? So don't get alarmed. Look this away and just keep watching to the word. And let the Holy Spirit do the speaking. Now, notice real close. God promised Abraham that he was what? El Shaddai, the breast. So in other words, he would be the mother to God, to Abraham. Is God a mother? Sure he is. We are born of God. Is that right? So that makes God our mother. God is our father. God in Christ is our brother. Is that right? That's right. And God, Christ, is our bridegroom. And we are the bride. This is the other part of the covenant God made with his people and with Christ, who took Christ up as a memorial and shed forth the Holy Spirit here as his covenant with his people. Now I want to ask you something. God did a special thing here for Abraham. A special thing. Now, how many years have passed the age of 25 years old? Let's see your hands. Well, past the age of 25. Anyone knows that when you pass 25, your best days is over. Your youthful days. Now, can you remember the time when you took mother and went down to the altar? I'm looking at a couple sitting here. I'm looking over here at another couple. And down here at different couples. I'm looking around in the room. And a lot of you can remember when you taken that lovely little sweetheart of yours. And mother, you remember what dad looked like? Fine, handsome, strong-looking man. And mother, sweet as she was, and her hat and her rosy cheeks and her sparkling eyes, you walked down to the altar and promised God that you would live together until death separated you. And you were at your very best. Now notice what happened. After a while, what taking place? You begin to notice, you looked and said, Dad, there's a gray hair coming in your head. What's happened? Mother, there's a wrinkle coming under the beautiful eyes of yours. What's happened? Death set in. That's right. Little touch in this corner, that corner, somewhere or another, but finally it'll take you. Is that right? Now you're old and wrinkled. Many of you are turning back. The shades are falling. Face is wrinkling. You can't get around like you used to. Then you look back and think, oh my, if I could only go back to the time when I took her by her lovely little hand, kissed her hand and told her I'd live true to her till death separated. All these years we've lived true to God, and here we are old and shaky. I met an old couple like that way up in Manitoba one time. Or not Manitoba, it's British Columbia. And how I thought of that story. Well, now look how old Abraham was. He was 100. And Sarah was 90. Now, so that some of your brethren won't say, oh, well, they just lived longer in that day. The Bible said they were both well stricken in age. Is that right? The Bible said so. Now, do you know what God did? He proved by taking his word, him laying on the breast of El Shaddai, he proved to Abraham what he's going to do to every one of Abraham's seed. Right. Amen. He turned Abraham and Sarah back to a young man and woman. That's what he did. Right. He sure did. Now the Bible, you can't just take the Bible just like just read a newspaper. The Bible is a love letter. Did you know that? The Bible says that he's hid these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent and reveal them to babes such as will learn. Is that right? Now here, when I go overseas, my wife will write me a letter. She'll say, "Dear Billy, I'm with here. They first put the children to bed," and she'll write me a letter. Now I can read what she says there. Yeah, anybody could read that. But you know, I love her so much, I can read between the lines. I know what she's saying in between the lines. Well, that's the way God does His Bible. Now the students can argue the Greek words, but the believer reads between the lines. Amen. It's revealed by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. God writing His letter to His children, reading between the lines. If I had time here, I'd just like to show you through the Bible. But watch how this is, this little instant. Now, to make it true to you, about 5 years ago, I preached on this over here at a place, and a man wrote a book on it. Put it on the radio. Reading between the lines. Now, watch. I can just see Abraham get up one morning, said, "Sarah, honey, why, you look different." I hear her say, "Well, Abraham, my Lord, you know what? Your beard's turning dark." God was on the answering line. What was it? They were nursing from His Word, the breast of El Shaddai, the Almighty. What was He doing? Working a miracle, showing in Abraham what He'll do to every one of Abraham's seed through the promise, Christ's death and resurrection. See it? Notice. Said, "Well, honey, but nighttime," he looked at her eyes and said, "Sarah, honey, you know your eyes are getting that sparkle again." Well, said Abraham, "He ain't half that much stoop in your back there was this morning." What's the matter? God! The vitamins from the milk, the sensor milk of the Word had gone to work in the body of Abraham and Sarah. God's vitamins, His Word, will go to work in the body of every believer right now if you'll take it. That's right. He's still El Shaddai, the Almighty, searching for the seed of Abraham that He can show His grace to. Watch Him now as He moves along. They got young again. Sarah went back to a young woman, probably in her 20s, and Abraham is a young man. Oh, you say, "Brother Branham, ridiculous." All right, well, just find out what's ridiculous or not. Show you how the other side would be ridiculous. What happened? They taken a trip from up here at the slime pit at Sodom all the way to Gerar. Measured on the map, about 300 miles. That's quite a distance for an old man and an old woman, wouldn't you think, at that age?
Yeah.
And now, are you ready? Here's what happened. When they got down there in the land of the Philistines, there was a young king down there by the name of Amalek looking for a sweetheart. Amongst all those beautiful women that was down there, when he saw Sarah, the old grandma, 100 years old with a little cap over her head, shaking on a stick, he said, "There's the one I've waited for." And he fell in love with that old grandma. Took her for a wife. Took her down there, was going to marry her. Could you imagine that young King Amalek falling in love with an old woman that's well stricken in age, shaking around like this? There comes grandma, and she said she's the beautifulest woman in the land. Nonsense. God had turned her back to a young woman. Amalek took her over there, and I want you to notice grace too here. Amalek was a good man. I can imagine after taking his evening little nibs on some food, brushed his teeth real good, and laid down, stretched out his toes after saying his night's prayer, said, "Tomorrow I'll marry that beautiful Hebrew woman, come down here with her brother, and I'll marry her tomorrow." He fell asleep, and God appeared to him and said, "You're just as good as a dead man." "Why?" he said, "Lord, why is that?" He said, "You got a man's wife." "Why?" he said, "You know the integrity of my heart." "Well," he said, "didn't she say that that's my brother? And didn't he say that's my sister?" He said, "Yes, I know the integrity of your heart, and that's the reason I kept you from sinning against me." A good man. Watch his grace. He said, but her husband is a prophet. He's my servant. I'll not hear your prayers, but if you don't take him back, his wife, and have him to pray for you, you're as good as a dead man in your kingdom. Talk about amazing grace. How sweet the sound. God protecting his children. Mama, Daddy, one of these days, there's coming the other part of the covenant. The Lord Jesus is going to be revealed from glory. And when he comes to unite with this body that's used his spirit here on earth as their God, you'll be changed one of these mornings. Not back to a baby, but back to a young man. Look, God was painting a picture when you he was painting you and mother. He brought you up to a certain picture. He said, there it is. That's just what I like. I think that's beautiful. That's what I have in my kingdom. All right, Jeff, come on. But you can't take them till I tell you to. You have to leave them right there to I tell. Why was it then they grown to that picture? God had them just at the beauty, just at the time that he thought they were the best. And then he painted the picture and set it over in the kingdom. And some glorious day, everything that death done to us will be taken away. And just what life give us, we'll have. Hey, man. What kind of men and women? Oh, my. My time's gone. What kind of men and women should we be? What kind of a person should we be? How should we conduct ourselves, ladies and gentlemen? How ought we to act in this present day? We ought to be real, up-and-going Christians. We should stand out boldly for the testimony of the Lord Jesus. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Here some time ago down in the Southlands, they come through, used to many years, and buy Negro people and make slaves out of them. The Boers sold them over here from Africa, make slaves. And they go around and have buyers and buy up a bunch of Negroes and sell them like you do used cars today. Human souls. And buy them and sell them. And they would go around and have legal papers on them and sell them like you would an automobile or anything else today. Commercialize them. And they would go by and buy a bunch of slaves off of this farm, take it over here and sell them over here and make some profit on them. And a buyer came by a certain place, a great plantation, and was buying some slaves, and he noticed a young slave there, had his chest out, all of them, they were very, very much disturbed, weary. They had been brought from their homeland, captured way over in another country that they didn't know, a different people, not their own people, but a different people, speaking a different language, acting different from what their man did and their people in their tribe. They know they'd never go back to the homeland again, so they were sad. And they wouldn't work. And they'd have to get great big whips and take them out and whip them like that to make them work. Because they were always sad. They were away from home. But not this young man. Stuck his chest out, snappy, ready any time. That buyer said, let me buy that man. He said, oh, no, he's not for sale. He said, well, I've never seen a slave act like that. He said, he's a dandy. He said, I'll give you so much more than four or five slaves it cost. He said, he's not for sale. He said, well, what makes him act so much? Is he the boss over the rest of them? He said, no. He said, maybe you feed him better than you do the rest of them. He said, no, they all eat out there in the galley together. He said, I don't feed him any different. He's no boss. He's just simply a slave. Well, he said, what makes him act different from the rest of them? He said, I didn't know that for a while. But see, you know, one day I found out that his father is the king of the tribe. And yet, though he's an alien and away from home, he keeps them all, the rest of them, up, for he knows that he's a king's son. I thought, oh God, though we be alienated here in a dark world amongst unbelief and skeptics and infidels and scoffers and laughers, brother, stick out your chest. We're sons and daughters of the King. Let's act like men and women of the kingdom of God. Though we're an alien, let's act like sons and daughters of God. One time, Daniel Curry, a well-known minister, about 150 years ago in the Middle East of the United States, was a sainted man. And one day he had a vision that he died. He went up to the gate, and he knocked at the gate. And the man come out to the gate, the gate take care of heaven. He said, I'm Daniel Curry, Reverend Daniel Curry, the evangelist. Said, I've won thousands of souls to Christ. Said, may I come in today? My life is finished on earth. The man said, just a moment. He looked around and said, what's your name? He said, Reverend Daniel Curry. He looked around and said, I don't even see that name nowhere. Oh, he said, sir, you must be mistaken. You must be. Said, I won thousands of souls. He said, I'm an evangelist. He said, sir, here's the book, and I have no record of you being here. Said, you might appeal your case to the white throne judgment. Oh, he said, sir. He said, that's the only thing I can tell you. Said, do you want to appeal your case? He said, I have no choice. If you have not my name, I must appeal. And said, he was taken through space for about, seemed like an hour. For finally, he come into a light. It got lighter, 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 until he said it was a million times brighter than the sun. So he was trembling. And right in the midst of that, no certain object, but just in that light, he heard a voice say, Daniel Curry, you was a minister? He said, yes, I was. He said, did you ever do anything wrong on earth? He said he thought he was a pretty good man to land. He said, yes, I done wrong. He said, did you ever tell a lie? Said everything. He knew he'd said some things was shady. He said, yes, sir, I'm guilty of lying. He said, did you ever take anything that didn't belong to you? He said, no. Yes, sir, I have. He said, Daniel Curry, was you perfect on earth? He said, no, Lord, I wasn't perfect. No, I wasn't perfect. Said he's just listening any moment for that voice to burst through, depart from me. And said he heard a voice sweeter than any mother that ever spoke. And said he turned to look to his side and he saw a face, the sweetest face he'd ever saw in his life. And said that person standing there said, Father, no, Daniel Curry wasn't perfect on earth. But on earth, Daniel Curry stood for me. Now up here, I'll stand for him. You take all of his iniquity and put it on my account. And I'll stand for him here because he stood for me on earth. Men and women, don't you think it's worthwhile today to know the day that we're living in, the uncertainty of life, that we made our stand for Christ? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, knowing that we are eternity-bound people, just bound for eternity. It is appointed man wants to die, and after this the judgment. And some man's sins go before them, some follow. God, may we confess every sin just now, and our feebleness, and our unworthiness, and rely solemnly, wholly, on the blessed Lord Jesus. May we make a stand for him, and he has promised that he'd make a stand for us in glory. If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father and the holy angels. Knowing, God, that there may be people sitting right here tonight that'll have to be standing at the judgment seat of God by in the morning. And knowing that Christ might come tonight and we all may be standing there. God, have mercy on us. Forgive us of our stupidity. And for the foolish things and thoughts that we've had in our minds, make us clean, Lord. We love you. And we know that the greatest thing is life eternal. Give us tonight of thy blessed life eternal forgiveness of our sins. As we wait on thee in this few moments, it may mean the difference between death and life to literally dozens of people in this audience tonight. While we have our heads bowed and our hearts bowed in the presence of God, I wonder if there's a person here tonight in the presence of God, while everybody looking downward or eyes closed, praying, would just raise up your hand to God and say, God, tonight I feel like it. I'm guilty, and I want you to forgive me through Christ's name. Just would you raise your hand to God? God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, lady. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Way back in the back, I see you. God bless you. God bless you over here. God bless you here. Oh, my. Up in the balcony to my right, Anyone up there with your head bowed, your hearts, God bless you, ladies. God bless you up there. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sir. Remember, God sees your hand. He's knocking at your heart. The Word has found a little place down there in that corner of your life, saying, child of mine, won't you come now? All things are ready. I've prepared everything. And I'm asking you now to come to the balcony to my left. Would someone raise their hand and say, by this God, I now, God bless you, sir. God bless you, lady. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you, little lady. God bless you. God bless you, mister. Certainly, down here, God bless you. The whole group of you sitting there together. God be merciful. Oh, what a sweet time. A fellowship. This is what I think is near heaven. Men and women realizing they're wrong. The Holy Spirit here bringing conviction and saying, now's the time, child. I've knocked at your heart a long time, but just want you tonight, accept me. Jesus said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but pass from death unto life. Is there someone who has not lifted up their hands and would like to lift your hands anywhere? God bless you, sir. God bless you, and you, lady, and you, sir, you, lady, you. Yes, God bless you, lady. I see your hands. God sees it also. Anywhere in the balcony, God bless you, sir, and God bless you. Yes, sir. To the left, anybody, never raise your hands and say, God be merciful. God bless you, sir. God bless you, lady. God bless you, lady. Be merciful to me, God. I certainly want to stand in your presence at that day and hear Jesus say, yes, way down in Saskatoon that night when I spoke to your heart, you raised your hand to me and said, I want to be remembered, Lord. And now, God, Father, I'll stand in their place. They were standing for me. Well, it says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Now I enter into the joys of the Lord. And while you have your heads bowed, I'm thinking someday in his presence I'll stand with you with bowed heads and hearts. When I'm called to give an answer for what I've preached about tonight, and you who know you were wrong and raise your hand, I'll say, Father God, they raised their hand. They were sincere. They wanted to live and have eternal life. The meeting will be on record that you raise your hand. And I pray that God will bless your hearts now while we pray together. Oh, God. Have mercy upon us, God, as we wait patiently, thanking thee for the conviction of the Holy Spirit and how that he has dealt with hearts, and some 50 or 75 hands, maybe 100, as went up in this building tonight, sinners repenting of their sins and wanting to be remembered in a word of prayer. Oh, Father God, I pray that you'll put each one in the book of life tonight and remember their sins no more against them. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the word. When they heard the word of the Lord that said and given the promise that all the seed of Abraham would go back like Sarah, Abraham, and would never more have to die and would live together peacefully in the kingdom of God forever. Their hearts yearn, Lord, they're poor people. They don't have very much of this world's goods, but with one thing sure, we have a Savior who loves us. Gives us his promise of his grace freely to whosoever will. Let him come and drink from the waters of life freely. Each one placing their hands towards heaven and longing for that spiritual water that satisfies the thirsty soul. Pour it out tonight, Lord, with great measures into each heart. While we ask it in Christ's name, amen. Yeah, I hope you feel like I do. I just feel like it's just all scrubbed and scoured out. Don't you feel that way? Just like, how many loves him with all your heart? Such a spirit. Mom, I'm sorry to keep you late again. We'll call the prayer line just a moment. Start praying for the sick. I believe God will do the exceeding abundantly, all and above that which we could even do or think. You know, hon, I feel like tonight has been the time that the Holy Spirit has really caught every heart. And I'm going to ask God to do something right tonight. I'm going to ask Him that we won't call a prayer line up here, that He'll just, I'll just step here and deal with each one right down to the line. Let your faith look this way and believe in the Lord Jesus. God our Father, I believe, will be... You love Him with all your heart, every one of you? I just know He's here. I know the Holy Spirit's here. Friends, I'm so happy to see all these people. Immediately after this prayer for the sick, all you raise your hands. Would you just come up here and pray a little bit after the service is over? I want you to do that. Just then go join some real good church. Now, how many in here is needy, wants the Lord to heal you? Just raise your hand. God bless you. Just look, especially in these front rows, how solid it is everywhere. I want to say this. Could Jesus look out upon the people, and the Bible said He perceived their thoughts? Is that right? Did a woman touch Him by the feeling of her infirmity? The Bible said that we He could be touched by the feeling of the... If the Lord Jesus has raised from the dead, and I have absolutely, firmly recognized Him here, and we have said the truth about Him, don't you believe He could come right down without having you here after you've gotten one accord? Last couple nights, it's been just a little... Oh, we kind of... I don't know. You love me, and I love you, but it just seems like tonight there's just a little special blessing along. I just feel it. Do you feel it? God's presence. Now I'm going to ask you to be real reverent and just look this way. And let us pray. And if Christ has risen from the dead, that we know He is, and to these new converts that just been saved, that you might know that you're not just worshiping a book or a leaf or something like that or a pamphlet, but a resurrected Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit here. And He said, the things that I do shall you do also. More than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. And the people in the audience, everywhere He was, could ask of God what they would, and He would turn around and tell them what their things was. Is that right? Wow. He sure did. And He said, you'll do the same thing. Now, I could preach the Word, that's first. But now in His gift, if God from this platform, with any person in this building, tonight, sitting here, and you know I do not know you, but if God, by me yielding myself to Him, and you giving your life, your spirit, to believe that the Lord Jesus is here tonight, and He will look out over this audience and get some total stranger. Maybe two or three, I believe the Bible said, mouth of two or three witness every word thee. Would you take this, you, each one of you, and know that Jesus is here, and He's doing this to prove to you that I've told you the truth, that your salvation, your healing, and everything was purchased at Calvary, and you'll be ready to accept it? Would you do it everywhere? This is something new. I don't usually call a prayer line, get the person standing right before me, because He's so much spirit, as I told you a while ago, it's them pulling you. See, that's what does it, weakens. But I mean without anybody here at the platform, just you sitting out there, anywhere, balconies, or wherever you may be, would look and say, Lord Jesus, I believe that You raised from the dead, and I believe everything to be the truth of Your Word, and I believe that You're living tonight. And if You were standing there where our brother is in a corporal body, I believe if I pray, You'd turn to me and say, this is what You're asking for, and if You believe me, I'll give it to you. Would you believe Him? If you would, raise your hand. Just raise your hand and say, I believe if I see it done. Our Heavenly Father, we're a little late tonight, and it's cold in the building, and many have sat for a long time. Just couldn't stop the good Word just coming forth. And we're a little late. And we know, Father, it doesn't matter how many people stand up here by Your unprofitable servant or any other servant, they must stand in Your presence. Not to touch Your servant, but to touch Your Son, Christ. Now pray, Father God, that this night that You will recognize their faith. And I'm making a great assertion here, Father, standing here at this platform among these people, all strangers, and declaring that you can do this and will do it. And I pray that you'll give me divine wisdom, help, and speak thy great power. Through Jesus Christ's name I ask it. Amen. Now, would you like to stand here? See? You realize what this is, just a moment. What I was meaning, I never finished my sentence. I mean, stand here to take this place. Now, either a false accuser, I'm a false prophet, or either I've told the truth. That's got to be shown. People can say anything. Any man can make any kind of statement, but then turn around and God confirm it and say it's the truth. Now, you can doubt me. I'm a man. You got a right to, but you mustn't doubt God. Now, if Christ was raised from the dead and standing here where I'm standing with this suit on that he gave me, and you'd say, Lord, I'm sick, heal me. What do you think our Lord would say? I did it, child of mine, at Calvary. Don't you believe that? Could he heal you twice? No. He only does his work once. Is that right?
Right.
And you were saved back there. Many of you got saved just a few minutes ago. You accepted your salvation. You've been saved for 1900 years since Jesus died. You just heard the word, accepted it. And now for healing, it's the same way. Now I'm standing here just as if God's servant, very humble, least among them. Not saying that to be humble, but saying that in my heart, that is right. You Pentecostal people and full gospel people, back down when I was a sinner boy, I was paving these roads down through Canada, preaching this gospel. I'm just following the roads that you blaze. That's all. You prayed for God to send it, and he did. This is the answer to your prayer. See? And it's for every one of you. And I respect you, my dear brother, sister. I want you now to see that Christ is raised from the dead. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, God's Son, I submit myself to the Holy Spirit and pray that God will touch every heart, that they'll submit themselves to the Holy Spirit, and the great Father God, who's omnipresent now, that has promised through Jesus Christ that where two or three would be gathered together, I'll be in their midst. And the works that I do, shall they do also. Now, Father God, it's all in your hands. In Christ's name, I give myself and this audience to you, that they might know that you are raised from the dead and here in the church tonight. Amen. Now, just be reverent. I don't say that he will do it. I pray that he will, because you've promised to believe on him. Now, everyone that has a need, just look this way. Let's take this aisle over in this part first. Now look this way and just believe. And just say, Lord, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, and I confess them to him. I'm sick now, and I have need. And I believe that the same Spirit was in Christ is here, the same one that said at the well and told the woman, talked to her and said, go get your husband, so forth. And she went and got, said, I have no husband to get. Now, as I started, I have to stop my speech because standing between me, and yonder stands that light, the Holy Spirit. Amen. God be blessed and honored forever and ever among the praises of his saints. I believe it's settling here by the side of a man with a white-looking sweater. No, it's going just behind him. It's settling on a little woman with her hand up like this to her chin. The angel of the Lord. She's got her hand up. She's sad. And she's praying. And she's got a burden on her heart. And little lady, it's you right back here. You were praying that God would speak to you and you would accept if he'd have me to turn and tell you what you were desiring in your heart. Isn't that true? If that's true, stand up just a minute. All right. Just remain standing just a moment. Now, to the woman, I have never seen her in my life.
But to me, she's just looking kind of a white-like light around her. Almighty God knows that's true. The woman is afraid in her heart of a desire that she has for someone else. And that's her father. And that father is having trouble in his breast. It's his heart. He's having a heart attack. It's your father. That's true, isn't it? You believe me to be his servant, the Lord's servant? Isn't that your husband sitting next to you? I see the light moving to him back and forth. You have something about a chair, a wheelchair. You've been in a wheelchair or something, the man has. You had some condition you've accepted. Oh, you've been healed in this meeting from a wheelchair. Smothering or something, trying to, and trouble and dizzies, and that's right. Well, the Lord bless you. Go in and receive everything that you have desired. God be merciful to you. Do you believe? Would you do me a favor while you're standing there, sister? Being that God's been so tenderly to you, that the people might know. Because there was something about this man here that didn't previously done. The lady sitting next to you has dizzy spells, and she wants to be prayed for too. Would you lay your hand over on her and pray for her? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you will remove all of that condition, and may she be well. I pray in Christ Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, lady, you that had the dizzy spells, you know that's true. Now they have left you, and just rejoice and be glad, for the kingdom of God has come nigh to you. Do you believe the Lord Jesus? Have faith in God. Don't doubt. Somebody up in this way, somewhere up in here, have faith. I can't make it do it, but just believe. Now, there's a man sitting back there looking at me, just behind this boy here that's blonde-headed. I sit settling down around him. You, sir, you that look down, you that was praying. You have high blood pressure, don't you, sir? Yes, sir. Stand to your feet, you. Strange, isn't it? That your wife sitting next to you there? She has diabetes, doesn't she? Isn't that right, sir? Raise your hand. Put your hand over on her. You both know that you feel a real strange feeling, don't you? It's the Holy Spirit there. Have faith in God. My dear brother, have faith in God. Now, Father God, you who are omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, bless this couple, I pray, in Jesus' name. Thou hast, by amazing grace, has touched them. And I pray that their faith will touch thee and be made well. For the glory of God, amen. God bless you, my brother. Not me. I don't know you. I never seen you in my life. Isn't that right? We're strangers to one another. It was great. My heart just reaches out to a woman sitting on the end of the seat crying, weeping. You believe, sister? You believe? Just with pure compassion looking at, I don't know, he would say something. You must be in need or something, or you wouldn't be weeping and praying like that. There he is. Have trouble with your heart, don't you, lady? Stand up on your feet just a minute. You believe me to be God's prophet? We're strangers to one another, aren't we? But your faith touches him. You've got more than your load. You've got a domestic trouble, too, don't you? Your husband's a sinner. You've got a broken-up home. That's right. You're not from this city. You're from a place called Laurens, something like that, Saskatchewan. That's right. Your name is Ringberg. That's right. Ringberg, so now, you believe with all your heart now? You accept Christ as your mediator between God and you, and believe that your troubles will all leave? If you do, raise your hand to Him. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask the blessing for this dear soul. May she receive that which she has asked for. In Christ's name I pray, for the glory of God. Amen. God bless you, sister. Receive. What about you people in here? Do you believe? Have faith in God. Don't doubt, but believe. If thou canst believe, said the Lord Jesus, you can receive, but only as you do believe that you can receive. You have to believe. I see rising before me a lady. It's in vision, just as our Lord Jesus said He's seen. The woman is in this direction, and she's praying for a daughter that's backslid. The lady's sitting here with a little kind of a little thing over her head. She's wearing a brown coat. She's sitting right down here. Yes. You believe that Jesus Christ will answer your prayer? You do? Amen. Let's look to God, see what we see about the girl. Once the Christian, now a backslider with habits, smoking cigarettes. That's right. The girl is not in this country. She's in a place called Toronto. That's right, isn't it, lady? I don't know you, never seen you. Is that true? Wave your hand like that if it's true. That's all true, isn't it? May God give you the desire of your heart, my sister. Heavenly Father, as a woman's faith could touch the border of the garment of the Lord Jesus upon God's unconditional covenant given by grace to His people, I pray as a minister of the gospel that you'll give her the desire of her heart through Christ Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. What about this section? You believe with all your heart? I see a terrible thing happening. It's a woman sitting out here in the front row praying for her daughter. It's an insane institution. That's right, isn't it, lady? You believe with all your heart that God will hear and answer prayer? You do? Yeah. The Elon Church, you know. Yeah. Never seen him alive. But that life could not be hidden. All right? You believe now. You're not from this city either. It's the Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, where the river comes through the city. Have faith. Let's pray. Dear God of heaven, be merciful. Grant unto her her request. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. What about someone else in here? Have faith. Don't think they're hopeless. I see a poor lady sitting with her head bowed. She's in a death condition with cancer. She's sitting in a little seat, a little love seat, or a little family like sitting with her. Mrs. Hansen, do you think that the Lord Jesus could make you well tonight? God, I know your name. Just believe Him now with all your heart. God, be merciful to that poor, dear person. Spare her life, Lord, under the wings of the Almighty. May you bless and protect her. Your loving Spirit, you're just chilling every heart with your blessing. Grant it, Lord. Now, friends, look this way just a minute. Are you convinced that Jesus raised from the dead? You believe He's here tonight? It weakens me so. just yielding myself. Now, if I found grace in your heart, do this for me, will you? No matter what condition you are, accept Christ just now as your healer, like you would your Savior. Let me pray for you right here. He'll hear my prayer just the same from here as he will from there if he was up here. And then I believe every one of you can get up and go home and be well. Do you believe that? Now let us bow our heads just a moment. Everyone, Reverend, just take a little mental trip now and remember, imagine seeing the Lord Jesus walking right down the aisle. Standing there by the side of you, saying, child of mine, I want to heal you more than you want to be healed. And I've done all that I can do now. I gave my life, I shed my blood. Father tore the spirit and body apart. I returned to be with you. It wasn't Brother Branham. It was just, he just yielded himself. I sent him and he just yielded himself. And it's me speaking to you, not him. But he's telling you the truth. He's not taking credit to himself. He's saying it's me. And I was the one who died for you. And won't you believe me just now, the Son of God? Hear him say that to you? Then believe him while we pray. Heavenly Father, just stand real close just now. Just may each tender heart feel that nail scar as it rakes the cross by your hand as you touch, saying, I'm just raking away all the iniquity and all the unbelief. I'm going to heal tonight and give you faith to walk away and believe with all your hearts that I, the Son of God, have made you well. Grant it, Lord. May those that are sick or bound or afflicted, may this be the end of their suffering. May every pain leave the bodies just now. May all the sick feeling and the nausea, may it all leave. And may those who have been crippled, may they just feel the glory of God going down through their limbs and just bringing them back to their normal condition. God, the Father of Abraham, we being the seed of Abraham, grant this blessing, Father. And I challenge the enemy who has challenged them, and we bring back, not in our own strength, but the blood of the Lord Jesus, and say to him, Satan, you are defeated. Jesus Christ stripped you of everything you had at Calvary. You haven't got one legal right. Not one legal right. Christ has redeemed everything that Adam lost. Our health, our strength, our eternal spirit was lost in Adam, but Christ has given it back to us again freely by grace. And he's here tonight among us, alive, working, doing signs and wonders, and the people sitting here with their handkerchiefs to their face while hot tears are finding their way down their cheeks. Mothers holding their little babies. Dad with their hand over on mother, her sick. People sitting in wheelchairs, laying on cots. Some of them with heart attacks, dying with cancer. Satan, you're cruel. Jesus is righteous. We adjure thee, Satan, by Jesus' name, that you depart from every one of them. And let them go home tonight, free, rejoicing, and giving God praise. And claiming that divine healing promise that God has freely given them through Jesus Christ the Lord. We ask this. With your head bowed, your hearts open before God, how many feels it in your heart you can now accept Christ as your healer? Raise up your hand, you that say, God bless you. That's right. Amen. Oh, praise be to God. Keep in prayer. While we keep your, that's wonderful. I've seen a man quivering, putting his hand up, and he come on out straight. Praise the Lord. That's good. Have faith. Now, while we bow our heads and go to ask Brother Cox, standing here by my side, to offer prayer and have all those who desire to pray come to the altar just a minute after prayer, shall we pray, Brother Cox, if you will.